We'll read verse 19, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. If you're a guest today, thank you so much for being here today. We're so excited that you've come out to worship with us. And I just am absolutely convinced that God is going to touch you today. I'm absolutely convinced that He wants to meet you where you are and transform your life today. Praise God. Just put your faith in Him. Believe that God can do anything. Believe that He can change you, that He can rearrange you, that He can heal you, that He can deliver you, because God is so anxious and ready to touch your life right where you are today to bring you closer to Him in Jesus' name. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Praise God. Ye are not your own. Another place in the Bible, it says you've been bought with a price. Jesus Christ paid for you today. He paid for you to be here today. He paid for you to be delivered today. He paid for somebody to receive the Holy Ghost for the first time today, speaking in other tongues as His Spirit infills you. Come on, He paid the price for you to be baptized and be able to take on the name of Jesus today, because we are a child of Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to preach just for a few moments. It is all connected. It's all connected. God bless you. You may be seated today. They say that if you pull a thread in the Old Testament, that a page in the New Testament will turn. They say that the Old Testament is a shadow, a foreshadowing of things to come. It's because the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is God Himself. It is His nature. It is what He wants to communicate through the church age today. And so today, I'm so glad that I have the Word of God in my life. I am so thrilled that I've got a revelation, that I've got to study His Word to show myself approved. I'm so glad that I have the Word. But the important thing for this day and age is that it's all relevant for me today. The entire Bible, from beginning to end, is designed for you and I. There is not a piece of it that doesn't apply to you. There's not a principle that is not effective in your life. There's not one thing uttered in the pages of the Holy Scriptures that cannot change you today, because the Word of God is the very spoken words of God. It's all connected. It's all related. It's all one. In medicine, modern medicine is discovering a new side of the human body. It's constantly discovering new side effects and how this affects that and how this part of the body affects the other part of the body. Our bodies are a complex system of parts, and yet it works together to impact one purpose, and each functional area works together for a single reason, because God designed us in His express image. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 18, the Bible says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased them." You see, we're here today as a church, and there are ushers, and there are guests, and there are preachers, and there are singers, and there are people who are worshipers, and there are people who are just looking at this thing. But all together, we make up the body of Christ, and a powerful entity in 2016 that can have a supernatural effect on this world that we live in, filled with evil and filled with hopeless despair and people that don't know where to turn. Come on, somebody, heaven view, we are the body of Christ. We are the temple of God, placed in this city for such a time as this to have an impact on our world. Recent studies and research have shed new light on the effects of childhood on the rest of your adult life. They have discovered and documented that by the age of 3 years old, a child will have learned more than 80% of what it will ever know in its entire life. 80%. It goes on, this study I read, it says a child's brain undergoes an amazing period of development from birth to three, producing 700 new neural connections every second it lives. This growing brain development is influenced by many factors, including a child's relationships, experience, and environments. And that's why it is so important for a child to have love and nurture and a healthy lifestyle at the beginning of its life, because its whole life is connected to those first couple of years. And church, we're living in a day and age where everything we do, everything we say, every moment of service you contribute, every offering that you put in the offering plate, every prayer that you pray, it's all connected to the greater body of Christ and is having a tremendous impact. Come on, you may not think that what you're doing is having an impact in this world. You may not think that your giving can shake the foundations of hell, but I've come to tell somebody that a prayer, a whispered prayer, an ounce of faith can change the world that you live in. It can transform your family and your life that you live for God, because it's all connected. You may not think that this one principle, the Word of God, applies to you. You may not think that it's important for your life, but I've come to tell somebody it's all connected. It's all relevant. It's all important. And so when you compromise in one small area of your life, you have no idea what else is being impacted throughout your spiritual life, your family's life, your church, your coworkers. You have no idea the things that are set in motion by every decision you make, because we are all connected in Jesus Christ, in the body of Christ. You have no idea what impact your life is having to others around you. Your faith can bring somebody else to a faith point where they can confess God, and your lack of faith can devastate somebody to reject God. Your worship can motivate somebody to step out in faith and throw their hands up and say, God, I'm going to give you my life. And your lack of worship can demotivate somebody right out of the blessings of God. Come on, somebody, your actions, your faith, your ability to answer the call of God has the ability to affect thousands of people around you and transform the world around you. And likewise, your lack of faith and action can set somebody on the path to destruction. When you walk away, others feel the void. When you make light of the anointing that God has placed on you, others will suffer as a result of your decision. It has been said that no man is an island, and no truer statement can be stated today, because we are the body of Christ and we are all connected. The Bible says we are engrafted in Him. It's all connected. Seemingly small, insignificant decisions have dramatic impacts down the road of life. And so we have to take this book as a whole. We've got to take the Bible as the spoken word of God. We can't begin now, after all these years, to begin to pick and choose what is right for us and what is relevant and good and easy for us to adopt in our life and throw the rest of it away. It's a slippery slope to live that way. I've seen it far too many times in my life. People I know and love have chosen to compromise in areas that seem to be harmless, to seem to have really no effect at that moment, and it didn't seem relevant at the time in their life to follow after this principle in the Word of God. It didn't seem important enough to contribute the effort to follow after God's principles. It seemed like it was possibly for somebody else and not for them, and they didn't understand it, and so it was there in the Word, but for some reason or another, they decide to walk away from that truth and cast it aside. And now, when I look at their lives, the things that they have accepted into their life, the things they've allowed into their family's life, they would have never believed if I told them back then where they are today, where they ended up years ago. And so I say, don't play God in your life. Just let God be God in your life. Stop trying to pick and choose what you want to obey and what you want to apply in your life. Let God be the Lord of all in your life. Amen. Well, I'm not going to focus on that area of my life. I'm just going to put that away. Maybe when I'm older, I'll focus on that area. I know it's in the Bible, but it's not really something I can really obey right now. I don't even understand it. And I'm saying you don't have no idea about the impact you're having down the road of your life. You have no idea what you're affecting, the struggles you're going to face as a result of that decision to ignore the voice of God. You have no idea the sicknesses. You have no idea the financial struggles. You have no idea the family members that might walk away from God because you decided to sit on that word that was spoken to you. And so I'm calling somebody today to give God a blank check in this day, May the 15th, 2016, and say, God, whatever you want me to do in my life, whatever you want me to give in my life, whatever you want me to surrender on this altar, I give it all to you. When you're a servant of Christ, you're giving up the right to choose parts of his word which are applicable to you. When you give it to God, it's all for you. And you can't decide that you're going to obey God in one area and reject another. It's either God is God or it's either you're in control of your own life. If you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to surrender your will to God, if you're going to surrender your past to God, you got to give your future to God. And you can't give your future to God until you give your present to God. And so it's time for the church to say, God, whatsoever you call me to do, whatever you call me to be, whatever you call me to give, whatever you call me to say, I'm going to do it because thus saith the word of the Lord has assured me to do it. And so I give it all to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love the teaching of the fruit of the Spirit that we find in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. I love this because everybody that reads this wants to have that. There's nobody that goes through that and be like, well, that's not for me. Everybody wants to have love. Everybody wants to have joy. Everybody wants to have peace, long-suffering, and all the fruit of the Spirit. But notice this. In the Bible, it calls it the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't say these are the fruits of the Spirit. It's saying that God's Spirit signifies these characteristics. It is his character. It is who he is. And this one God that we serve has these attributes. And you can't be loving and joyful but lack faith and meekness and say you've got the character of God. You can't say I'm going to strive to have temperance, but I'm not going to have a lot of faith because it's not that easy in my situation. My mama didn't have a lot of faith. I've not been taught how to be full of faith. I don't have the gift of faith. Come on, that's a bunch of baloney. You're either going to follow after God and accept the character of God in your life. You're either going to strive after the fruit of the Spirit, or you're going to take God's word and split it up and pick and choose. And I've come to tell you it's all connected. I think there's a broader meaning here as well. I think this principle is throughout the Word of God. You can't accept one part of God's nature. You can't accept one part of his character and reject another. Likewise, you can't follow after some instructions and some guidelines given to us in the Bible. It all clearly speaks to the church. It all clearly speaks to this individual because it's all connected through Jesus Christ our Lord. This one area is going to be blessed if we accept all areas of our life. Come on, you can't expect to be blessed in every area of your life if you're not going to accept every area of God's word. Come on, somebody. You can't expect to make it to heaven. You can't expect to have a family that's going to make it to heaven with you if you're not going to give God a blank check and say, God, I give you my whole life, regardless of what the situation dictates. Hallelujah. In another epistle, the Apostle Paul gives us the analogy of the soldier's armor that helps us be successful in spiritual warfare, the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6:11 begins this lesson. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Paul emphasized that we put on the whole armor of God. He says, pick it up and put it all on. Don't reject one area. Don't walk out the door without your boots. Don't go to battle without your helmet. Don't have on the whole armor and miss just one piece. You gotta have that whole armor of God. Don't leave out one area. Don't neglect one area of your Christianity, because that's the exact area that devil's going to attack you. That's the exact area he's going to look for you. Come on, somebody. You can't expect to be successful in spiritual battle. And has anybody ever faced battle in this day and age? I know I have. But you can't expect to be successful against the devil's attacks if you've got your helmet unprotected, your head unprotected. You can't expect to win against the devil if you forget truth and that holds your weapon close by your side. Come on. Don't forget to put on God's righteousness that blinds and confuses the devil. Don't forget to share the gospel. Don't forget to build up your faith. Don't forget to bring the doctrine of salvation, because we've got to have the whole armor of God. Hallelujah. It's all connected. It's all connected. A soldier back in the days when this teaching was relevant in the context of how they teach it, he was taught that he has to prepare his whole armor. He has to care for it. He has to carefully sharpen, polish, and make sure it is in tip-top shape in preparation for the day that he will be attacked. And Christians today, we're ordered to be ready to fight the devil. We're ordered to be ready with the whole armor of God. Don't neglect your salvation. Don't neglect your faith. Don't neglect truth. You got to be able to have the whole armor to protect ourselves from the increasingly savvy ways of the devil. I want to be the one that's counted to be ready to fight the devil. I don't want to be caught by a trap. I don't want to be caught by something the devil sneaks up to my family. I want to have the whole armor of God. It's all connected. It's time we start to look at our own lives and see what we really honestly see as following God wholly, and what areas we have neglected to give God access to. Are we focused on just the areas that are easy, or are we really living God's word completely? Are we talking about letting Jesus come in and rearrange the furniture how he sees fit, taking up residence in our heart? Or are we saying, well, you can go in the living room, in the kitchen, but stay out of my bedroom. I've got some skeletons in those closets. Come on, I'm talking about giving God access to every area of your life. I'm talking about inviting him in today and saying, God, whatever you want to rearrange, go ahead and rearrange. Rearrange my priorities, God. Rearrange my finances, God. Rearrange my thoughts. Rearrange my prayers. Rearrange how my paradigms of worship are. God, go ahead and take up residence in my heart. Come on, somebody. It's time we invite God to rearrange our relationships, not just the ones we give him access to, but those relationships that we've been keeping God out of. God, rearrange my self-perception. Oh God, come on, there's no room for somebody to talk down to themselves. There's no room to think of yourself like dirt and treat yourself like you're nobody. There's no room for a child of God. Has made us sons of God. He has adopted us. And if he's a king, then you're princes in his kingdom. Your royalty in the body of Christ. And it's time you start treating yourself like it. You're a child of God. You're not a child of the devil. You've put that in the past. And so it's time to stop wallowing in self-pity and regret in your past and start treating your body and your life like you are a child of God. Oh, God. How is it that we can feel okay to pray to God to heal our infirmities, and then walk out of that church service and make terrible choices that impact our bodies? How is it that we can pray to God to deliver us from that sin that we committed this week and know full well we're going to do the same thing this very week? Come on, somebody. How is it that you can go to God and say, God, bail me out of this financial mess that I'm in, and you're going to walk out and make the same irresponsible choices that got you into that very mess that you're in today? I'm amazed at how many Christians will stand on the ledge of a cliff and pray to God that he would save them from the devastation of falling off that cliff and hitting the bottom, and take the very step off that cliff and cry out to God to save them in their demise. I've seen it too many times in too many lives and in my own life. Crying out to God in the midst of a great fall, God, save me. I'm about to die. I'm about to destroy my life. Yet I've made a choice to make that step off of that path of destruction. I've made the choice to go down that road. I have made the choices that led me to the place that I'm in. God's laws are perfect. He's righteous. His creation was created, and the choices that you make put you in the situation that you're in. But God is merciful. I'm not going to say that God cannot save you or that he won't save you. But if you take a step off the edge of the great cliff, my money is that you're going to die regardless of how much you've prayed up. No matter how much you've gave in the offering plate last Sunday. It don't matter how many people you witnessed to this week. It don't matter who your grandparents are. It don't matter that you sang in the choir. God's law is God's law. And we can't expect to continually mock God by making foolish decisions as Christians to make light of the anointing he's placed on you. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to people that have been in the church. And I'm talking to you if this is the first time you've been here and the first time you've entered into this building. God is calling somebody to give him access to every area of your life to influence decisions and influence lifestyles and influence choices so that we can abide by his word. Hallelujah. God's law is God's law, and we can't expect to have God continually bail us out of our foolish decisions. It's time we renew our bodies and be transformed by as is the will of God. It's time we develop as Christians and stop being stagnant in our spirituality and take a step of faith rather than a step of carnality. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about following after God and not following after your carnality. It's time we take responsibility for our carnality. It's time we take responsibility for our lack of anointing. It's time to we take responsibility for our lost loved ones. It's time we take responsibility for our messy finances. It's time we take responsibility for our lack of good health. It's time we take responsibility for our lies and cry out to God in a prayer of repentance. Come on, I know I'm going to get unpopular after this sermon, but we've got to stop looking to God to bail us out of our foolish decisions and ask us for a supernatural healing when we keep on living and abusing our body. We've got to stop praying for a financial miracle when we're trying to live like the Kardashians and haven't paid our tithes in 6 months. Come on, stop crying out to God to bail you out when you're not faithful to God in what he's ordered you to do. God is crying out to somebody in this church to say, I'm going to give you my all. Come on, we need to hear this. We need to hear this. I'm preaching to myself and I'm preaching to a church that desires to follow after God. But let's be honest about it. Let's be honest and say, God, I haven't given you every area of my life. I've given you some areas. Some of you may have given him a lot of areas, but it's time we give him everything in our lives. It's time we stop making choices to defile this temple by what we see, by what we look at, by what we do to our bodies. And it's time to say, God, I give you my all. God, help us today. Help us today. Help us today. Help us. Here's the key to this message. It's all connected. You can't expect to be successful in the body of Christ if you're following after some principles and rejecting the others. Come on, you can't expect to have God's favor in your life if you're going to just take after the blessings and forget about the cross that you've got to carry. It's time that we start rejecting the world, rejecting the devil, rejecting our flesh, and saying, God, I allow you free reign over my life. Take my life, take my family, take my checkbook, take my job, take everything. Come on, it's an act of faith, and it's an act of fasting in a practical sense in your real life. Come on, it's not because we have to give up one thing. It's because we have to give up everything. We've got to say, God, take my whole life as a vessel, as a servant to you, and let's see what God can do with everything. Your spiritual life is going to be affected by your physical life. I know that's super revelatory, right? Blowing your mind right now. But it's true. It's what the Bible said. Your physical life is going to affect your spiritual life. Your financial decisions will affect your spiritual life. It'll affect your physical life. Anybody ever been stressed out because of bills? Come on, it's all connected. We're all connected. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, the Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Come on, not just the Old Testament, not just the New Testament. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Listen to this, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God asks us to strive for perfection. God asks us, and I know it's going to be tough for any of us to reach it because we're fallen. We're in a sinful state, but it doesn't mean we got to stop trying. Come on, just because it's hard, that doesn't mean you got to stop trying. Just because your sin comes so easy and so natural, that don't mean that you got to stop trying to live holy. That don't mean that you even have to stop praying about it. That doesn't mean that you don't have to stop trying to give and be a good steward of what God has given you. We've got to get back to applying the Word of God in every area of our lives, because God has given us His eternal Word to apply to every area of our lives and live life more abundantly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't make yourself holy today, but you can defile your body. You can't make yourself supernaturally eliminate the disease that's in your body today, but you can choose to continue to nurture that disease by your lifestyle. You can't choose and demand God's anointing, but you can live a lifestyle that compromises the anointing. You can't choose to eliminate God's love, but you can walk away from God and never feel His love. God's love is unconditional, but your choices have impact. I said your choices have impact in way more ways than you realize. Let's accept God's grace and mercy to cleanse us from our sinful past, but let's start walking in newness of life. I'm talking about making a decision to walk out these doors, say, God, I'm walking away from that sin. I'm walking away from that lifestyle. I'm really repenting this time. I'm not going to walk back and get in the mire and go back like a pig does to the wallowing in the mire. I've got to be able to start repenting and stop sinning. I've got to be able to make decisions to live after God's word. Quit watching that stuff you used to watch. Quit listening to the junk that you used to listen before you came to God. Quit letting all that filth into your homes and into your minds. Repent of your sins and follow after God. Hallelujah. When God heals your body, it's time to start living in that healing, not living in the kind of lifestyle that destroyed your body in the first place. We've got to be able to have faith in the Word of God and say, God, I want to be healed, but I want to stay whole in You by acting according to Your Word. Hallelujah. It's all connected. It's all connected. I wonder if you'd close your eyes just for a moment right now. I feel God speaking such strong ways in my life right now, and I believe God is trying to speak to this church right now. God, I pray for that person right now that has not given You access. They've allowed ideas. They've allowed tradition. They've allowed life choices, maybe even past pain in their lives, to close You off in ways that is limiting You from operating in their life. God, I'm praying right now that You break down those walls. Break down the walls that limit You from touching these people in a supernatural way. God, search my heart right now, God, before You, Lord. I want to be open and honest. I've rejected certain things in Your word, God, and I want to give You access to transform me by the renewing of my mind. God, let Your word change people today and make us what You want us to be, because it's all connected. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Today's Pentecost Sunday, and it's a great day for churches like ours where we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. What a great miracle. What an awesome, awesome thing that happened over 2,000 years ago. What a treasure. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Musicians, come. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. That day, over 2,000 years ago, couldn't have happened without everything else in the Bible happening before it. Pentecost would never have been possible had it not been for the Bible before it. There was no day of Pentecost where salvation was completed to mankind without Adam and Eve. Pentecost would have never happened without the flood, without Abraham obeying God's voice, without placing his only son on that altar. Pentecost would have never happened without the children of Israel leaving Egypt in the great Exodus. And there's no upper room experience without the law of God given to Moses in the desert. There's no Pentecost without David slaying the giant, without the three Hebrew boys in the furnace. There's no Pentecost without Peter's revelation, and there's no Pentecost without Judas's kiss. There's no Pentecost without a manger. There's no Pentecost without a cross. There's no upper room experience without a grave and without a resurrection. It's all connected. And now God wants you to reconnect with him. We were separated from God in the garden that day. There was a great gulf placed between us and the presence of God. And all through the scriptures, it all works together for our salvation. And for somebody, it's all worked into this very moment right now. Pentecost is about reconnecting with God. It's about completing the work that began thousands of years before. It all worked together for that moment. And it all worked together your whole life. Every decision you've made, bad and good alike, everything that happened to your life worked for this moment where you can say, God, I'm going to leave my past behind and I'm going to give you free access. I repent of my sins, God. I reject that old nature. I want to connect to my Maker once again. I want to link up to my Savior once again. It's all connected into this moment. And now God wants to have communion with you. It's Pentecost Sunday. And it's time for somebody to give God their hearts. It's time for somebody to give God their pain. It's time for somebody to give God their sickness. It's time for somebody to say, God, whatsoever you will me to do, I will do. Wherever you will call me to go, I will go. Whatever you ask me to change, God, I'll make the decisions to change. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let's all stand right now. We're going to open up this altar in just a moment. And I'm asking somebody to take a step of faith who wants to connect with God in a way that you're not connected. That can mean for you that you've never experienced Pentecost. You've never repented of your sins. You've never received God's grace and be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost as evidenced by speaking in other tongues. I want you to know that this altar service is for you. For somebody that has struggled with sin in your lives and has had a terrible time shaking it. Today's the day that you can lay it at this altar and not pick it up as you walk out this door and say, God, I'm going to live in newness of life. I'm going to reject my old nature. I'm going to reject the decisions that I would make on a daily basis that led me to sin, and I'm going to follow after you. This altar is for you today. It's Pentecost Sunday, and God wants to connect with you right now. As they begin to sing, I invite you to come right now. God wants to touch you in a supernatural way. If you're sick in your body and you believe enough for God to heal you, I want you to know that it's Pentecost Sunday and God can heal you in a miraculous way. Just talk to somebody at this altar, these altar workers and elders that are coming right now. Connect with them right now as they stand at this altar area and say, I believe that God can heal me. I've got enough faith that God can heal me. Please, just like the Bible says, lay hands on me and anoint me and pray with me that I may be healed, because I'm going to walk in my healing from this moment on. Come on, somebody. Let's claim our Pentecostal experience. Let's have an upper room experience right now. Don't be satisfied with what you've experienced to this point. Just give God another chance to change you into an experience that is true and real. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.